Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. 1900 UK on the 19th of November 2017. All the 19s. This is Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks, and I'm very pleased to say none of the website has crashed, and we got loads of listeners all pouring in at this moment. So, without further ado, good evening, Simon. How's things?
Good evening, JP. Good evening to all the listeners. But so far, so good. We're all still here. Waiting for something exciting to happen, and I suppose something exciting happens every day. So I'll quickly go straight into some of the things that are quite worth watching for. People will know that President Trump has visited very recently North Vietnam. And also President Putin and a whole host of other guys all visited. Apart from the obvious conversations and the stuff that the media was sort of allowed to pick up on, the major topic is literally about the new alternative currency that China, Russia and other countries are wanting to bring out quickly. I know it's been announced, but what wasn't agreed was the amount of gold that would back it. And this meeting, a part of this meeting was to discuss, the group were going to go into a separate room and to work out the official announcement and how much gold would back it. Now, the reason that this has occurred now and not done via, you know, a conference call or into America is because of the Dragon Gold. People who have done their research will know that there are basically two dragon groups, red dragons and white dragons. And many wars that have occurred have been for gold or oil. We think about the Vietnam War. This was all about gold hidden in the caves in northern Vietnam. And there's an awful lot of gold still stored in Vietnam. And that's one of the reasons that you know, China is supportive of Vietnam, supportive of Korea, because it's about this dragon gold. Now, the currency that will be backing up this new gold-backed, it's not an electronic currency, it'll actually be a physical currency, is coming from the Dragon Gold, and it is based largely in Vietnam and some part of Korea. So this meeting was incredibly important, and what I'm looking for in the next fortnight is an announcement from this group, which would be obviously very heavily Russia and China, although India as well and others, basically saying this is the date we are officially launching and this is the amount of gold that will be backing it. Now that has come from this very recent meeting. And if you look on the official media, the established media, you'll find that Trump is being heavily attacked. He's gone to Vietnam. He's a draft dodger. You know, nearly every president has been accused of being a draft dodger or accused of this, that and the other. And they're absolutely furious that Trump is part of this debate. They wanted basically China and India and Russia, etc., to have this debate and America to be separate, but Trump's not a fool. Whatever he is, and he does make some gaffes, but whatever he is not a fool because he's a very successful businessman. That can't be taken away from him. And so he's looking at this and he's realizing that the future power is going to lie with this gold-backed currency. So he's made sure that he's in on the debate. Now, he may not be in on the signing up of the deal, but he certainly wants to be in on the debate. So that's something there that I wanted to flag up, and I'm hoping there'll be this announcement very soon. There's also been, I spoke recently of an interesting tweet that President Trump made, and I saw it had been out for about 15 minutes before it was taken down. In actual fact, it had only been up for about 15 seconds. And I got two people who alerted me to this tweet. One person is a person who is based in Capitol Hill. Another person is much closer to home. But both had picked up on this. The tweet referred to a forthcoming operation that we would call Alice in Wonderland. And this is a very real code word or code name for an operation. It's not a trigger word. It's not something that's put out there to trigger Monarch victims or MK Ultra victims. It's nothing to do with that. It's a real program that has been in place for a number of years, which is designed to, as we would say in Britain, pull the wool over the public's eyes. It's to create a false reality. And they would use everything from the latest technology down to just your actors on the street. And there was a tweet that went out, which was taken down within 15 seconds. And I don't have any evidence. I'm led to believe that the president himself did it. And he did it to forestall something. Because it's not in his interests to go down this road of this false dawn. He's not that way inclined. But he is aware that there are some very powerful people who are not in government, but they're on the edges of government, and they've been forced out of government, and they've been forced out of the military. That's another thing. The military have been actively removing people who are Satanists, who have the agenda which is against the constitution of the American citizens. So the military in the last few months have been very proactive in doing that. I'm feeling quite strong because Trump is obviously supporting them and vice versa. So there is a program that's sketched in to take place at some point that would create a false news, a false reality, a false everything. And then the people of the world will be hit with one story after another in order to destabilize people and to make people think they don't know what's truth anymore. So it was very interesting that the president felt that he'd have to do that. Now, either he decided that he would do that and take it away very quickly, or whether somebody came to him and said, you just can't, you know, you're just going to cause too much trouble. But it was taken down very, very swiftly. The term Alice in Wonderland operation is a term that those people who have perhaps a bit of experience of these things will, if they haven't heard the exact code or term, they'll be familiar with what that relates to. And you don't have to be an insider to have a guess as to what that actually means. Anyone who's read the stories of Alice in Wonderland, seen the film, more importantly, understood the mind programming of Alice in Wonderland, or elements of it, because there are tremendous number of sub-elements that run to the main program of Alice in Wonderland in terms of mind programming, would understand that in the minds of these people, this is to them it explains everything. To them they would have a code number or a whole program, but just to say those words, they know exactly what they're up to. So that for me was very, very important, that it was to be perhaps activated this side of Christmas. But I think because it's been released on that tweet, that's it for this year. They can't do that now. I've often said to people who are too quick to attack other whistleblowers, let's say somebody says something and it doesn't happen. Again, people who are not in the know, they will say, oh, you got that wrong. And I've often talked about the guy Schoenpi, who said that there was going to be a bomb explosion in the 2012 stadium, and there was no bomb explosion, and he was tried in court and sent to prison for 1 year because he said there would be a bomb. Not that he said he would plant one, but he had heard there was going to be a bomb. Now, why would you put someone in prison who said that? You'd do it because they're on the money. They're actually right. And they did, in fact, imprison him for 1 year. But when somebody gives out information and it doesn't happen, it doesn't always mean they were wrong. What it means is they've blown the cover of the organization or the people who are planning to do something. We often talk about how the Illuminati have to tell you what they plan to do, but they do it in such an obtuse and covert way that most people don't pick it up. And so when someone does pick it up and they have access to the media and they can then bring that forward, then these guys have to either shelve it completely or push it back a few months. And that's what I believe has happened here. This Operation Alice in Wonderland, which was slated, I believe, for 2018, but perhaps somebody thought they would bring it through for Christmas. And I thought deeply as to why would they do that? And it's because of all the false flag terror attacks we've had haven't destabilized the American people. Yes, it's shocking. Yes, it's terrible. But the resilience of the US citizens has been astounding. Think about the Las Vegas. Think about all of the attacks over the last few years, not just in the United States, but in Great Britain and many European countries. It hasn't led to vast numbers of people going and demanding martial law or cracking down on this racial group or throwing this racial group out. It hasn't caused panic. It hasn't caused pandemonium. It hasn't caused a breakdown in society. And that's what these guys were planning on. They wanted to make people so fearful, so worried and so nervous that their normal life pattern was going to be disrupted. That hasn't happened. And so I guess these bad guys are thinking, well, how many more painted up bodies do we have to lie on the road? How many more fake explosions? How many more this, that and the other? Maybe they've realized it's not going to work. Now, here's the problem, because if they've worked out it's not going to work, and frankly it can't, because human consciousness now has risen to such a level that even people who 5 years ago were, you know, dumbed down and half asleep, even they now are asking questions. Never mind the people who listen to shows like this and watch the real truth on the net. These people now can't be tricked in the way that they were fairly recently. So the options of these people now, these bad guys, is very, very few and far between. And we've talked about a potential EMP blast. We've talked about a dirty bomb. You can produce a small nuclear device in a suitcase or a briefcase, which is a contaminated bomb. We had all the situation with contaminated bodies a few years back crashing in airplanes down in the Ukraine. We've had Mossad heavily involved in some very unsavory operations. And so maybe they're just saying it's not working, we've got to go for the big one. Now, I truthfully don't know what the big one is, but the Alice in Wonderland, all reality is fake. That's the other term they use for it, by the way. That is one of the big ones. But as we've said, I've said, and many others have said, once they play that card, they've got no other cards to play. If you start off with a hand of 52 cards, and then in 2017, you've only got two cards left. And one's a two or a deuce, as you'd say in the States. And one's the queen or the king. You don't play the deuce. You play your card. But once you play it, you've got nothing left. There isn't anything left. And if that card fails, then you're finished. And that's why the bad guys, as I call them, the evil nasties, that's why they've waited and held back. And it's not that commentators are wrong, because people have been saying, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. It's not they've got it wrong. It's that the bad guys keep taking this card out of their hand, moving to put it down on the table, and the last minute bringing the card back. Because if they play that card and they fail, they are all finished. They're all either going to have to change their names and disappear, or go to court and face the charges. There's been, for instance, all this stuff about John Podesta and the paedophilia charges. I can remember when Hillary Clinton lost the election, John Podesta was the one that came out and managed everything and said, you know, go home, everybody. His words were, go home and I'll see you all tomorrow. It was John Podesta that held that together. He's a key player, and there's a lot of paedophilia allegations and questions rolling around that. The big question is, how much of the truth would be allowed to come out? So again, I remind people, we're not living in a free society. We're not, you know, the battle's not won. Yes, more of these nasty, horrible people are being outed, but are they actually going to face any sort of penalty? And that's the question that we'll never get the truth until the system has changed. Now, one of the ways of changing it is indeed this new currency, which India, Russia, China and others are working on, because if you know that the petrodollar is finished, and I think anyone who's seriously a researcher knows that the petrodollar is just months away from a serious collapse. If you know that the main bastion that holds up your system is on the verge of falling down, then you don't have many options left. And I said on the last radio show that people were moving their wealth from one place to another as quickly as they could. And if you were to look in the lists for New Zealand, you would find that some of the very great rich and famous have moved dual nationality, moved to New Zealand to live in the mountains or near that area. Lots of people moving to Lithuania. And when I met Lord Ivars, Lord Ivars told me that as an American citizen, obviously, you can't travel in Europe without a visa. So they have a deal with the Lithuanian government. The Lithuanian government works very closely with the CIA. I'm not going to get anyone in trouble here. You know, I'm not naming any names. The Lithuanian government works very closely with the CIA. And if you're an operative, a field man or a field woman, and you want access to Europe, you need a dual nationality. You need a Lithuanian passport, which gives you access to Europe. And this is a deal the CIA have. So many people have been going to Lithuania, obtaining Lithuanian citizenship, so they can move around and do a bit of spying. So a lot of governments are positioning themselves now, ready for which camp they're going to be in. Will they be in the camp that has the gold, or will they be in the camp that doesn't, that has the petrodollar? And for Britain, one of the toughest questions for the current Prime Minister, Theresa May, is exactly whose side she's going to be on. You see, the corporations and the IMF are favouring the Russia-China deal because it's stable and it's going to be backed by gold. But the business people, the corporations, want to go with the gold. But the politicians, the political elite, the Illuminati political group, who are still hugely wealthy, but they're not reliant on selling products. They want to stay with the petrodollar. So we are going to see a very, very sharp divide, and that should make it through to the mainstream media, the establishment news, and we should follow that. Other than that, the world should be reasonably quiet and safe, because corporations in the Western world make nearly, and not all of their money, but they make most of their money during the Christmas holidays. Now, if I was, and I'm not, but if I was a multi-billion corporation, the last thing I want is a government or all my friends in the Illuminati to cause an issue which is going to affect my profits. So I don't expect any issues in the December months, because the corporations have so much power, they don't want any interruptions. They want a clean run. And in Great Britain, unprecedented this December, because a number of focus groups, this is groups of people who have been questioned. They say, we're going to question you on soap powder, and you have 50 questions, but actually there are only two questions they really care about, and they've got nothing to do with soap powder. They don't tell you why they're really questioning you. Genuine people just stopped in the street. The people doing the questioning don't know. They just ask the questions. What they found was that in Great Britain, I don't know anywhere else, but in Great Britain, large numbers of people were so concerned about terrorism, they weren't going to go to big shopping centres, to big shopping malls, to Christmas markets, to fun fairs, because they were so worried there would be a bomb attack. The corporations are hugely concerned that the amount of money they're going to lose, and they've put a great deal of pressure on the British government, and for the first time ever, we're going to see this December more policemen and women with guns on the street in December than we've ever seen in Great Britain before. The British government have reversed a decision, and I think they're employing several thousand more armed police. Had to go through a training program. They started that in October, ready for December. Not because they believe that there will be necessarily a genuine attack, but because people are going to smaller shopping centres, they're not going to what they consider would be a bomb target, they're going to the local shops where the big multinationals don't have stranglehold. So they're going to, you know, Fred's furniture shop, rather than a very large, big, soft furnishing storehouse. So the corporations do not want any disruption over Christmas. So I don't foresee any false flags over the Christmas period hitting the British shopper as it stands at the moment. That's the information I've got. So fairly quiet. I would suggest that January would be a time that we might see some problems. So there we go. That's the update. So thank you very much, JP.
Good, good. Now, various other things. Where were we? Yeah, somebody's asking, how's your stomach? Your stomach, you're singular.
No, singular. How many do I want?
You're not a cow, are you?
I don't know. Doctor Who's supposed to have two hearts, so I don't see why I couldn't have two stomachs, but I wouldn't use them. I've been good for, 2.5 months. And then, my own fault, I had too many pastries and it made me ill and I was knocked out for a day. So I was non-operational for a day, which reminded me that whilst I'm loads better, I'm still not fully healed. So everything's fine now, ticking along, but that was my own fault by not being careful with what I'm eating. So thank you for your concern. I'm very grateful to that. Before we nip on, just worth saying that the next radio show, I think, is scheduled for the 17th of December. Is that right?
First and third, usually. Hang on.
Yeah, it's just that if it's the 17th, is it the 17th?
Yeah, 3rd and 17th.
Right, okay. Well, I'm going to be doing the 3rd, but the 17th I've got a conference. I'm a speaker down in Devon. So I won't be able to do the 17th, but you and I, JP, could work out to perhaps do an alternate date.
Or we could do a pre-record.
But do a pre-record is great. And then I followed through on the calendar, and goodness knows, help me, and I noticed that one is the 24th of December. So I don't know, do you work on the 24th of December, JP?
I'm a 24/7/365 pilot, but it's fine. You know, I'll probably just, I'll have a quiet, relaxed day and put tape, you know, just leave the tape running.
Okay, what I was going to suggest was I'm happy to do the 24th, but I'd just do 1 hour on the 24th. But I think I'd like to do it because there might be some good news.
Yeah, I think we should keep it regular. And if you want, we'll do a pre-record and one on the 24th as a sort of Simon Parks Christmas special. We can have mince pies by the fire.
Okay, well, you can dress up as Father Christmas. You're already halfway there, aren't you?
Yeah, I got the beard.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, that's a deal.
So, by the way, did you see, I sent you a little
clip. I saw half of it and then you called me. I got to the bit where, sorry, I'm just jumping ahead. The listeners won't know what you're talking about. You sent me a clip about two actors, one playing Angela Merkel and her assistant telling her that she's got a PR problem. And I only got halfway through it.
All right. Anyway, great fun. Enjoy yourself later.
Thank you.
Tracy, it's Tracy Ullman, and I haven't seen her for years and years and years, and she seems to have, you know, with all these female politicians that are out now, she's got a field day now.
Okay.
So, shall we move on to our questions and answers?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, so, the first question is coming. So, as I say, I looked down my question list. There's thousands, a thousand. Cool. But I try to grab the ones that are coming in from midnight of this morning. You know, so like from midnight this morning Pacific time, which is 8 o'clock this morning in British time. So, and then there's still too many. There's still more than would ever be able to ask in 2 hours. But anyway, let's keep going. Now the first one is from our old favourite Nuck Choris. And this, you know, let's kick it off. Here we go. Topic, Veil of Secrecy. Hello, Simon. It seems that every week now a new person in Hollywood is named as a sex offender, a paedophile, or a rapist. How many of these accusations are genuine? Is this the Veil of Secrecy finally being lifted? Now, next bit. And if this, in fact, is the Veil of Secrecy slowly being lifted, how long will it be before people start naming celebrities they have seen shapeshifting? Last year there was an article about how Queen Elizabeth had shapeshifted in front of a large audience, but somehow that gem never made it to mainstream media when it was quickly swept under the rug.
Yeah.
I truly wish to one day see a real reptilian, but I doubt we will get to see genuine videos or pictures of them. Well, because they, you know, they've been our invisible overlords, I would say. Yeah. So, yeah, because people talk about reptilians and people poo-poo them because nobody's ever seen a real one. So, and I know that there's a blanket rule that you should never, the press will never show a picture of any reptilian.
Yeah. True. Right. Okay. Thank you for the questions. The reason I'm not laughing at the questioner. I'm just saying that you need to prepare yourself. If, and yes, I absolutely agree. When the time comes, these things are going to be outed. There's no question of it. But my goodness me, you better be ready for what you're going to see. You know, you cannot prepare somebody enough for what they're about to see. It's not just about what you see. It's about what you feel. Can you imagine standing in front of something and you feel totally naked because it has the capability to see inside you almost. It has the capability to know what you're thinking even almost before you know what you're thinking yourself. That's how psychic these things are. To know that you can't lie, your innermost emotions are already known by it. Although it doesn't understand emotions, it can detect anger, fear, etc., etc. So if, you know, people need to be ready, because yes, this is going to happen when the veil of secrecy is broken through and these creatures have nowhere to hide. I'm hoping that they'll come round and sit round a table and talk. I'm being deadly serious. I hope they can sit round and have a decent discussion with humanity. But if they can't, yes, you know, there will be instances where these things are seen. And so you'd better be prepared for what you're going to see. It's not Hollywood. It's not, you know, Disneyland. These are real creatures that are not at all human. And you cannot, in your wildest imagination, be prepared for what you're going to see. So let's just keep it serious. I mean, really serious. It's not like the greys. You know, the greys are between, what, 2 foot and 7 foot. But they don't have that same edge to them that the draconis have or some of the other groups have. So, you know, that's why it's easier to cope with a grey than it would be for anything else. All right, so what's happening? Yes, it's true, as far as I'm concerned. A lot of the paedophilia cases that people thought were buried are coming out now. And this happened in Great Britain, didn't it? Last year and this year, so many celebrities were being named. But you notice, they are the ones who can be thrown to the fire. Nobody of any stature suffered. I mean, there was a great thing around a previous prime minister, Edward Heath, Ted Heath. There were links to Margaret Thatcher's, when she was prime minister, her cabinet, men in her cabinet. There were some very serious claims about sex rings being operated, paedophilia rings operated in parts of London. But nothing happened to it, because the elite still control it. So what they'll do is they'll say, right, there's a cauldron bubbling here. We can't keep the lid on this pan any longer. So what we'll do is we'll name 7 or 8 lesser people. We'll throw them to the media. We'll throw them to the public. And that will buy us escape. And that's exactly what they do. And the only reason that some of these big names get thrown out is because they're either dead, like Jimmy Savile, or they're so ill they can't testify in court anyway. So don't be mistaken. Only those that they want to name are being named. The real ringleaders are still being protected. And the media are terrified they don't have a driving ambition to give the news to the people. They have a driving ambition to make sure they have a pension when they retire, which means they do what they're told by the people who pay them. You know, and those very few brave journalists who actually say, no, I'm going to report it, they're the ones who have found supposedly committed suicide. And you've only got to look, just Google it, and you'll see how many journalists throughout the world have met an untimely death because they were investigating something that some big, big, powerful people didn't want investigated. Now, you could say that's always been the case, and I'm sure it has, but never before in the history of this planet have the paedophilia rings been so threatened because human conscience is coming up. So, yes, a lot of these allegations are true. Yes, it's the beginning of the end for this nasty, horrible group, but it's still going on. Why so much in the media industry and Hollywood? And when I talk to my clients who have been through MK Ultra or a Monarch or any of the other lesser programs, I can read the energy, and I'll say to somebody, you've been a model, haven't you? Or, you know, you've been in films, haven't you? And, you know, that invariably is always the case. And what happens is that not all, can't say all, but many of these talent spotters, exactly what they are, they're spotting talent. They say, oh, there's a 12-year-old girl here. She's interesting, and they'll pass that name along. And the next thing you know, that person finds himself in a satanic ring. You know, it's no good. The guys who dig up the road, it's no good saying to them, here, listen, keep your eyes open for, you know, 6 and 7-year-old girls, because that's not going to happen. But if you went to a school, if you went to a fashion place where parents are unwittingly taking their children in to, oh, I want my child to be a supermodel, you know, so take her in at 3 years old and she can, you know, model a well-known high street magazine selling toys and, you know, this, that and the other. And the parents think they're doing well. But the reality is that in many, not all, but in many cases, this information is being passed to people who shouldn't be passed to, who are looking and seeing. If I want to traffic young girls and women, am I really going to stick them on a barge that's like 40 days at sea to try to, you know, so that the US Coast Guard doesn't, you know, detect me in terrible rainy weather? No, of course not. I'm going to have a deal with one of the international airlines. I'm going to have a deal with one of the great cruise ships. This is the reality of this planet. The problem with humanity is it sees things in pockets. Oh, there's a problem here. Oh, there's a problem there. They're not actually, as David Icke says, joining the dots. They don't realize that this is all part of a massive web that has been created over many, many years. One organization is supporting another and feeding another. You know, a Pizzagate. You know, how many more of these so-called standalone issues do the public have to uncover before they scratch their head and say, hang on a minute, aren't these things all linked? Aren't these things all part of the same cesspit? And that's the reality. They're all part of one group which we call the White Brotherhood. And I've had this discussion with people before who can't accept it because it's got the word white in it. But white's good, isn't it? White is pure. How can that be? How can the White Brotherhood be bad? And my simple answer is, have you ever heard of pure evil? And that's what the White Brotherhood is. It's pure evil. That's why they wear white. You know, do you honestly think that members of the Illuminati, who are paedophiliers and goodness knows what else, do you think they eat meat? Of course they don't. You know, people have this image of the, you know, the evil person doing all the things that evil people do, which is, you know, loads of sugar on their cereal and smoke lots of cigarettes and eat lots of meat. And no, they don't. They actually want to create magic. They want to create the power. They want to create a connection to source, just as the good people do. But they want it for evil purposes. So we have to understand that the enemy is not what you expect. You expect a stereotypical image of Mr. Bad Guy. And it's not. That's why when a lot of these paedophiles are outed, you know, and people say, God, you wouldn't have expected it of him, would you? And that's the trick of the evil people, because they're trying to paint a picture to make you think of a certain thing. So it's a big topic. Of all the things that really, really, really annoy me, it's paedophilia. Don't like it. It's so wrong. It really annoys me. So big subject. It is changing, but it ain't changing fast enough. Good question. Thank you.
Okay. Now, where are we? Why did the Illuminati, this is from Scintilla. Why did the Illuminati use predictive programming for 9/11 in so many movies?
Okay, I wouldn't, that's not the phrase I would use. I know exactly what you mean. I know, to me, predictive programming means something else. It means, to me, in mind control operations. And you could say that that was a mind control. It wasn't. It was more of a mind psyops. The reason being that a long time ago, the leaders of this planet worked out that you could either fight against human consciousness or you could use it. And why would you fight against something that's more powerful than you are? You'd try and subvert it. All of the major banks on this planet are built on nodes or ley lines of positive energy. That's why, because they want to make more money. You know, they don't build a bank on a graveyard or an old place like that. They put it where they know energy nodes cross, because they want to bring the good and to create more money. Money is evil, with the energy connection to it. But you can use energy and you can convert that. So what they wanted to do was twofold. The first fold was part of their own rules, their own law, is that you can't spring any action on the people unless you have told them about it beforehand. That is their rule. Lots of people don't understand it. It doesn't matter you don't understand it. I'm not being rude. That is the law. That's their law. That's how they work by. They can't do anything unless they've told you. If you pick it up and you challenge them, this is what I was saying in my earlier part, they've got to stop it or at least delay it. So what they do is they do it in such a covert way that very few or nobody spots it. And they've done that. And the second thing is that when they get it through the system, it is accepted by the human consciousness. So, you know, I and others, I'm sure, put together loads of presentations, and I did several presentations. I got as many stills from Hollywood movies that I could that showed different ones. And, you know, if you go on YouTube now, you'll find even more. What you've got is people who watch a film, they don't challenge it, they don't recognize it, it doesn't matter, and they buy into it. And that's why I warned about the latest Kingsman movie, and I didn't want people going there and feeding their energy into it. So why do they do it? They do it because they have to. That's part of their own hidden law. And also because if people accept it, then they ride the wave of that energy. So if everyone talks about Terminator 2 in 1991, I think it was, something like that, Terminator 2, fantastic film, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They've encoded that information in there because it was on the bridge, wasn't it? Maximum height, 9/11. So that is carried through and becomes part of the human acceptance. And if you do that enough, it becomes accepted, which means it will happen. So that was why they did it. So it's a really good question. Thank you.
Okay, so the next one is about time. Now, I've actually got two questions, came out consecutively. So they were 9 minutes of each other they were asked. So I'd like to ask them kind of at the same time because they're kind of connected. Right. So the first one's Lorena. And she's saying, you've talked about the globalists stretching time, then spoke of a special event that was supposed to happen in October. Yeah. Was it the stretching of the time that delayed the event that would impact the English-speaking world, as you've talked about? Would you talk about it and say when it may occur? If I miss the event, I apologize. Thanks for all you do. Okay. And then there's another one. This is from Patrick. He's saying, thank you so much for your work and your courage. The mainstream media reported in October that the police in Wyoming arrested a drunken man who claimed to be a time traveler who time traveled back from 2048 to warn humanity of a coming alien invasion in 2018.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on this? Is this a made up story? So you can see how the two are kind of linked together. Alien invasion theme, also stretching time theme.
Thank you, Simon. Right, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you, JP. The first question then. The questioner says, apologies if they missed the event. I think you wouldn't miss it. When the event occurs, you're not going to miss it. You have to be like the character Rip Van Winkle, who did he sleep for 100 years or 1,000 years? And, you know, or the character in H.G. Wells' book, When the Sleeper Awakes. Very good book, that. You should read that. Everything happens when the guy's asleep. So, no, the event was scheduled to occur for October. It didn't occur. And if it had occurred, everybody would be talking about it and the mainstream news would be full of it. The stretching of time is the only weapon they have to prolong or put off an event. And some 5-6 months ago on the radio show, I was warning about this. And I said I was very concerned because if they had got this technology, then I was concerned because if they could use it for this event, they could use it for almost any event. And it didn't bode very well for humanity, because I felt that if they had the capability to put off the inevitable, what would happen was that it's like, we talked about boiling pans already. If you have a boiling pan and you force the lid down, you just build the pressure up. And if you stretch something, you are preventing its natural occurrence. So you are storing up more trouble for later. So what might have been a short, sharp shock in 2017 might be much more of a loud, drawn-out bang in 2018. So that was my concern about the stretching of time. I know why they've done it. You know, if you've got trillions and trillions all locked up in property and this, that, and the other, you need months to get your assets out and convert them and do all the rest of it and hide them. So this is predominantly the stretching of the timeline to give these people, these nasty people, the chance to do that. So that to me is very straightforward. It's very, very worrying and very sad, but it's very straightforward. The second question is more interesting. Do you remember, goodness me, it might be about 5 years ago, there was a number of clips. I know it was a Charlie Chaplin movie. It was a silent movie about 1920 or something. And there was this guy, or an extra walking along, appearing to hold his hand to his head, and it looked like a time traveler who was on a mobile phone, and for all intents and purposes that's exactly what it looked like, a guy walking along on a cell phone, on a mobile phone. And it was proved that that this wasn't altered film, this was accurate, hadn't been changed and altered in any way. Time traveling is not new, and the Atlantean women, remember, it was a matriarchal society. The Atlantean women had access to time travel. They didn't have a time machine. They didn't have the ability to travel and then walk around. They had the ability to project themselves into a particular location and observe and interact and come back. I think at an earlier date, they had the capability to move around, but it is fraught with danger. When the Americans sent their ship during the Second World War through to the future, and all of the holes that it created, it taught them a great deal. This is Tesla technology, or at least Tesla rediscovered. So if, for instance, some bad guys were going to stage a false alien invasion as part of the big picture, which could be this Alice in Wonderland operation, it's not just one idea, there's several of them, then, and you had the technology to travel in time, would you not try and come back to warn people. But this is the difficulty with idealism. Many, 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 many more than we'd realize. Many people came to this planet, incarnated here, because they were just so shocked at the situation on this planet. They were so, disgusted is not really the right word, they were just heartbroken at the way that humanity was being led by the nose, how things were, and they couldn't understand it. So people volunteered to incarnate, get through the prison system, the grid, and come down here and try and do some good. But obviously what happens is you wake up, and in 99 cases your mind is wiped and you don't know why you came here. All you know is you're very different. This is a very primitive planet and nobody's like you, etc., etc., etc. So there hasn't been that enormous shift that otherwise would have occurred if we'd had several tens of thousands of people who incarnated here from the fourth, the fifth. There are good people on the fourth dimension, fourth, fifth, sixth, and so on, who all remembered why they came here and all joined together. We would have overthrown the cabal within minutes. But that's not how it's playing out. We are all severely fragmented, operating in small groups or individually and not as a large group. And also, there's no good unless we can connect with everybody on the planet. So we have a situation where it would be quite feasible for someone or something that had a capability of time travel to try and come back and warn people. If it did so, it would just be locked up as a nut. Certainly the people in the charge would know exactly what's going on, but the ordinary police officers on the ground would just have him down as a nut. I have heard the story. I haven't had the chance to look in to see if it's real or not. But all I can say is do not discount time travel. Do not discount the possibility of somebody taking it on themselves to come forward and warn people that this would happen. There is another rather awful possibility, which is the person is duped, and if I want to have a false flag alien invasion, then I need to start seeding the ground with people who start warning you about as an alien invasion coming, and they really believe there's an alien invasion coming. And so you get a number of people talking about alien invasion. So when the bad guys have the false flag, you're already partially conditioned to believing it. So we have to be careful. There are two aspects to it. But at the moment, I'm going for the fact that he's genuine. That's what I feel. Thank you. Good questions.
Excellent. So, time travelers. Yeah, consider also that time travelers could be traveling from the past into the future, from programs that were in the 60s and 70s into current day affairs. That's one that I heard from my insider. So,
okay.
Right, there we go. Okay, so this is a slightly more involved question. This is regarding the Collins bloodline. You know, like Collins, Collins.
Hi,
Simon and JP. I'm a fond admirer of your work. A session with Simon some months being saved my life. I would like
to Did he just say his life?
A session with Simon some months being saved my life. But anyway, I think it's saying a session with Simon some months ago saved my life.
Right, so he must have had some heavy programming. I don't know the names.
This is Elliot.
Ah, yes, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Question one. Here we go. I would like to know more about the Collins family, one of the 13 families. I know they are more powerful than they seem in terms of magic and the power than the cult power. My girlfriend's mother is a Collins. She has memories of satanic ritual abuse in churches as a child, so I'm convinced that it is the Illuminati Collins.
I think we've got to be very careful, because if a client of mine who had issues that I was able to help him with is in a relationship with a member of this family, it would not be wise of me to be too open. There are a number of, I mean, actually can be quite positive actually, there are a number of groups who I consider victims rather than perpetrators. We talk about the elite families. I actually call them the royal families because they can trace a line long distance, but it's a reptilian line. And just use the word elite then, elite families who, a bit like Game of Thrones. That's a really good analogy. I like that. Think about the Game of Thrones. I mean, that's based on an anarchy, power play where you have one ruling family and they control for a while and then they're ousted and another ruling family comes on and they're ousted, but everyone's having sex with each other. They're all interbred. So frankly, it doesn't matter which one you get because you're getting a non, fully earth human, running the show. So there are a number of families who, if the truth be known, would like to get the heck out of it. There are a number of families who are on the receiving end and cannot escape because of their bloodline. And this is what so many people who don't have to get their hands dirty in this business, and why should they, actually? There are an awful lot of powerful people who are victims themselves. There are an awful lot of people who you think are the ones in charge, but they are just as mind controlled and blackmailed as everyone else. You know, if I had an organization and it was an evil organization, and I'm not and I don't, but let's just say, if you are an evil person, you don't believe in free will, because free will overthrow you. That's the key here. Free will overthrows evil people because evil people are controlling in terms of their power. So if you do that, then you've got a situation where you've got a number of people who want to resist you. And so what you do is you put them into this program. You make them part of the satanic abuse. You mind control them. You do all the rest of it. But they're still elite family members, but they are just as much a victim as anyone else. You know, just like the fashion model or the superstar or the pop star, they are all victims who were inculcated, what a long word for Sunday. They're inculcated maybe 5 years old in a particular club somewhere and can't escape. So we have a situation, hello cat, cat is meowing, you have a situation where in this instance I would just have compassion for the Collins family, at least the ones that you're referring to there, and I would think that if you're in a relationship with them, it's probably not wise to talk too much more openly. Thank you.
Okay, well, carrying on from that. My girlfriend's father has worked as a stonemason for many years. He now travels from place to place and is a skilled worker in stone and is more, quote, senior. Does that make him a Freemason?
No, but it will mean that he will have been invited to join the Freemasons. Whether he accepted it or not, who knows? Only he knows. And his lodge, if he's a member. If you are a worker in stone and you create and you are good at your job, they will be interested in you. But remember, Freemasonry has moved outside of masonry. It's now power. If you've got these clubs, they don't want people who necessarily work in a library, because how does it help them? But you know, if you're a bank manager, or you know, you're a senior police officer, or you're a judge, well, they want you because they want that influence in their organization so that if one of their guys has trouble, they've got someone to go to. Now, my grandfather was a Freemason, and he said to me that the higher he got, then think of the pyramid, the higher up the pyramid you go, the fewer people above you there are for you to go and ask for help. But the number of people below you grows and grows. Therefore, the number of people coming to you for help becomes enormous. And when he got very senior, he said that he was absolutely inundated with requests from all of the membership to do things for them. Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you make a phone call? Can you? Not about making money. It was about, you know, everything from the police have arrested me for drunk and disorderly. Can you just get me off the charge? Right through to some of the most serious stuff on the planet. So he actually bought himself out. My grandfather actually bought himself out because he said as he approached the top of the pyramid, he didn't like what he saw. So it was a combination of sick of people continually coming to him asking for help. And he looked at the top and thought, I don't want to be like that lot. So he bought himself out from that. So, you know, there's some honor there, I think. Remember, it's quite okay to buy yourself out of the army, and you can buy yourself out of Freemasonry, which shows you the power of money, how evil money is, that people can put a value on morality. It was the Anglo-Saxons who started putting, this is after the Romans had left Britain, who started putting a price on things. So if you raped a woman, whereas perhaps before, you know, goodness knows what they'd have done to you, but, oh, if you paid so many gold coins, you got off the charge. So the Anglo-Saxons created a system that reduced everything to a monetary value. Depending on your crime, this is how much you would pay. So it wasn't really about being thrown into prison. It was about, can you pay? And here was a real move from morality, from the effrontery of decency or the effrontery of the human spirit to, oh, well, if you've got the money, you can get off. And you go back to the Bible, you'll find there are elements there where people are fined and they can pay the fine and they can get off. So this is a situation where money, power and people are at the moment totally interwoven, and Freemasonry is part of that system. So we could do a whole show on just that one topic. Thank you for the question.
I think maybe we should. I just wanted to also remind you, people have also been calling for a meditation. Now, we're just about to break for the top of the hour, so you have your tea. Would you like to, what would you like to do regarding...
We are going to do a meditation, and we're going to do a meditation towards the end of Christmas, because people don't fully realise that there are a number of huge satanic rituals that occur around those dates. And I know that, like, well, Purges Night and many other nights, they're the ones that get all the attention. But the insider information is that the, I love the word, the evil nasties are shifting some of their intent to dates which still have very important markers for them, but are shifting them to dates that are less well known. So we are going to do a meditation. I'm going down next Saturday to the CC Connecting Consciousness London group, meeting all the as many London Connecting Consciousness members who can travel there. I'm going to go down and make an appearance, say thank you to everybody, and I'll be talking about that meditation as to my plans and why we need to do it. So it's going to happen, and it will be advertised when it happens. I don't want to give the bad guys too much notice. Thank you.
Okay, so time for a nice cup of tea and a cucumber sandwich.
Splendid.
There we go. There we go. It's got this massive blank bit at the end. Welcome back to Simon Parks and JP on War Spirit Radio, Connecting Consciousness Show, and here we are. It's the beginning of the second hour, your usual donation slot. Do you have your list, or should we move on?
No, I do have it. It was only last time that they took down the site. They haven't taken it down this time. So what I'll do is I'll give my names of people who have very kindly donated, and then I did have a quick look at the blog site, and there's a couple of interesting points which we could come up with. So I want to thank Glenn, Enrique, April, Bernard, Nathan, Kenneth, Sue, Christopher, Laura, Imogen, Edgar, George, Rahul, Tina, Alyssa, Raymond, Shamsa, Jana, Rudolf, Lena, Gadget, I like that one, Sheena, Songarita, Cantu-chan, Natalie, Sandy, Maria, Filinka, Eric, Morris, Pitney, Paul, J&K, and that famous gorilla, thank you, Marguerite, Dietmar, Julie, nearly finished, Dr. Valerie, De Arang, Catherine, Sarah, Jean, and Jeff. Thank you to all of you who have donated. It doesn't matter whether you donated £10, £20, £1. Everything you gave is absolutely godsend, and I'm very grateful to you. People are on the blog. I had a quick look. I always do when I can. Talking about the potential of one of the Rothschilds being killed recently in the plane crash. And a couple of people have sent me messages asking about that. It was a helicopter and a Cessna twin engine light aeroplane. I have no information that Jacob Rothschild was on that aeroplane and killed. What I can tell you is that the Rothschilds had chartered the aircraft. But they charter lots of aircraft, and it doesn't mean that one of the Rothschilds was in it. So you could have a limousine, and you know, you might get one of the Rothschilds regularly hiring the limousine, but it doesn't mean if that limousine was in a crash that one of the Rothschilds was in it. So we need to hang fire on that one. I haven't heard any information, but there is a connection between the Rothschilds, absolutely right. But I had no information. He's dead. I mean, there was about 5 months ago, there was another report that he died, and that was false. So we do have to be careful. Someone else was saying, come on, Simon, when are you going to do a radio show or a conference with David Icke? Well, on the 17th, when I'm doing the conference, David Icke is hoping to do a Skype presentation. So he won't physically be on the stage, but, you know, he's going to do a, excuse me, he's going to do a presentation. He is on the road. That's the problem. It's during the period of time that he's actually out and about. So he said to the organizers that he hopes to be able to do it or do a pre-record. But if he just hasn't been able to, then it's not because he doesn't want to. He just hasn't been able to. So he is scheduled to appear on Skype to have a quick word with the audience. Also, as is Sasha Stone. Sasha Stone, not hugely well known in Great Britain by most people. I met him when he came down to visit me. I found him a really good guy. Didn't have a problem with him. A lot of what he was talking about, we talk about here on this radio show, and many of the values that he has, I certainly do share. And he's going to be, again, he's in Bali. So again, he will be doing a Skype presentation. So we've got some interesting characters there, and I'll obviously physically be there. That's on the 17th. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's get back on with the questions.
Okay. So here's a really good question from Fran Darby. Hi Fran. Nice to hear from you again. Hi Simon, please can you elaborate on the role of the mantids with regard to the management and development of ancient Egypt? A recent Farsight Institute remote viewing video on the Giza pyramids illustrated mantid beings supervising the construction and possibly also overseeing the breeding of cloned human laborers. The mantids were said to have a nurturing feel to them. Thank you for everything you do, past, present and future.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree with it. The mantids, or a group of the mantids, have an incredibly strong connection with the true Egypt, not the Egypt of the history book from High Street bookseller. Can't say the name because I'm sure I'll be sued. But if you were to go into any High Street shop and you'd buy a book on ancient Egypt or the gods of Egypt or this, that and the other, you know, £5.50, £7.50, you'd be sorely disappointed because it would just be a lot of nonsense. There are some good books out there. So the construction of the pyramid was, we have a saying in Great Britain, which is, you know, kill two birds with one stone. So everyone's looking for the reason for the Giza pyramid? Was it for this? Was it for that? The funny thing for me is that many of them are right anyway. It wasn't just for one thing. If you have a limited amount of physical resource, and you have to understand that when the pyramids were built, the technology was high, but the capability was low. And what I mean by that is, if you arrive on a planet and you've left most of your heavy equipment behind, you have the knowledge in your head, shall we say, how to do things and what can be achieved. But the basic physical reality on the planet is that it's going to take all your effort to extract the raw materials to enable you to create that, and much better to get the humans over many hundreds of years to do all the mining for you and the refining for you and, you know, and do all that. So the pyramid was built in a traditional manner, but to a concept which only now, these last few years, have the top scientists begun to accept as feasible science. So we're talking basically sound waves, generation of energy. The mantids were involved because the pyramid played a key role in the stability of, we're talking about Game of Thrones, of the control of the planet. It marked the center point, the center controlling point, and indeed there was just before the Anunnaki sort of had to go underground, and before the landlords of the planet had to disappear, was a big battle fought. And the technology of the pyramid was deactivated. But prior to that, it had played a very key role in the culture. You know, when the Queen of England or the King of England come to office, they go to Westminster Cathedral, and then they have a crown put on their head and they have the scepter. Well, part of the transfer of power or the recognition of it was to go to the pyramid. It was one of the assets that you had. So, I have no knowledge on the cloning of humans. It's quite possible, but that's something I don't have any knowledge. I would suggest that it was much more of a reptilian thing. It's the reptilians that have the expertise on cloning. They are master geneticists. So I would suggest that the cloning was through the scientific line of the reptilian ruling families. But certainly the mantids had strong connection with the feline races. And I know that on the ground level, designing the feline races were involved with the architects. So at the ground level of drawing up this, that, and the other, I know that there was non-human connection with human connection in order to create something that was nearly math perfect. Not quite the golden rule, but math perfect. And at a higher level in terms of its object. What was this thing? You see, when the pyramid was built, it was, if I use the word sold, I don't mean money. The idea was sold that it would do X, Y, and Z, but it was capable of other things. When you buy all these books, and there are some really good books out there, some fantastic books, and I've got several of them here, but I haven't yet come across one that's given this concept. When one of these ruling elite died, who were non-human or semi-human, what you could do was put them into the black sarcophagus in the king's chamber, and you would direct their soul back to Orion. So it wasn't just about generating power and this, that, and the other. It was a way of resonating, building up the resonance to send that person's soul directly back to Orion within the fourth dimension, where it could then reincarnate back. And that's why, in a half-garbled memory, pharaohs were mummified and given things for the afterlife to take them on their journey. They were given a boat or, you know, a spoon to eat when they got there, and nonsense like that. But there was the residual memory that the pharaoh was going on a journey. He was going on a journey back to his creator, back to his gods. The reality was that in the height of the technology, they had the capability to send the soul of the person or the physical body was dead, but before the soul left the body. That's why the pharaoh had to be placed in the black sarcophagus before he was dead. So he was dying, but had to be placed in the sarcophagus because it was no good. The soul would leave. The soul will stay in the physical body as long as there's 51% viability or 50% viability. When it drops below 50%, then the body can no longer maintain the soul, vice versa. The soul will leave. So you put the dying target into the black box, and then you shoot the soul out back. And that's what that was going on. Now, the mantids would have had the technology, or at least the capability, to impart what was required. So I accept most of that, but the cloning, no, I think that's a reptilian thing. Thank you.
Hi, sorry, interruption here. Let me just scroll. This is about the Dutch Queen Maxima. Hello and thank you for being there. This is from Wenceslas. Can you tell us about the Dutch Queen Maxima Zorregietta? Was she chosen for any special reason? Her DNA or something? Is she reptilian? What part does she play in the Illuminati structure? Is she as good as Lady Di? I used to know her when we were young in Argentina, and she was completely normal by that time. Thank you. I'm Wenceslas, and I always listen to the show. Do you get all those?
I did. I want to thank you very much for listening to the show. Unfortunately, I have no knowledge on this individual. I can't answer the question. What I can do is have a look at a photograph of the person, and then on the next radio show, I can answer that question. Even though you won't be around to ask it, I can make a note and then come through with it. This is one of those cases where an individual has not crossed my radar. In other words, whatever work I'm doing, whatever research, whatever it is, that individual has not cut across that line. There's nothing that individual has done, is doing, or is slated to do that will have an impact, positive or negative, on the greater movement. It doesn't mean that individual is not important. It doesn't mean that she or he is not got a role to play within the community they're in. But if I don't have any knowledge, it's either because I just missed it, or that individual is not going to do anything one way or the other on a global scale. So I can't answer it, but I am happy to look at the picture and see if I can answer it from the photograph.
There's a picture coming through just as we speak.
Right, well,
can you open the chat of Skype while we're talking?
Yeah,
I'll cover you. And there, it's just arrived to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
So okay, there she's wearing a burgundy.
Right, okay. I just need probably about 20 seconds.
Simon is currently looking at the picture of Queen Maxima Zorregietta. The question was, I'll repeat the question as well, was she chosen for any special reason, her DNA or something? Is she reptilian? What part does she play in the Illuminati structure?
Okay.
He used to know her when they were young in Argentina, and she was completely normal then.
Right, okay. That's helpful. I can confirm that I don't know her. And I don't have any knowledge of her, but the photograph is very helpful. Okay, I would agree with the questioner that when he knew her, she was, quote, completely normal. She is higher human. She is sixth dimension, Lyran. She has had mind control done to her in the last somewhere between 15, 25 years. She may be right-handed. I can see the question in relation to Diana, Princess of Wales, because moon goddesses have a certain edge to them, and the lyre, always lyran or something along those lines. The photograph's not clear whether her eyes are brown or green. They look to be green with a brown haze. She had a good childhood, but I could see that the right side of her brain has been tampered with. Interesting brooch she's wearing. Very much an Illuminati sign. So all I can say is, yes, I guess when you met her, she was just like anyone else. She was fine. And goodness knows we all have our own issues, but, you know, she was okay. Whatever has been done to her has been done to her in recent times. I can't do any more with the photograph. Thank you very much.
There you go. So let's go back to the question list. Here we go. That's huge. No, I'm not going to read that. Sorry about this, Aina. Prime Source sending a message all the way from Persia. No, it'll take up the whole show to even read it. I'll send this one to you in your Skype, and you can maybe choose to answer it another time. This question is from Kyle. Hi Simon and JP, I've discovered some sort of psychic or magical connection between the numbers 1 and 4, the planet Jupiter, and these entities which I believe to be reptilians showing me their craft in the sky. I've found they've only begin showing up mostly on Thursday, which is named after Jupiter. And when I use tarot, I pick 2 cards, which are the 4 of Swords and Art, which is the 14th major arcana. Both have the planetary influence of Jupiter. I guess my question is there a link? Is there a answer? I wish you and JP, all the listeners, all the best.
Right. It's more complicated than you would think. All magic is magic. It's neither good nor bad. It's the person that wields it that makes the difference. there's a little comment earlier on that King Solomon was a black magician in the cabal, and indeed he was. But the magic is only bad if the person is bad. It's good if the person is good. Tarot cards, generally speaking, don't have the power to open portals for the average operator, the average clairvoyant to do that. But there are some people who are particularly gifted, and if they have the right type of card for them, the cards for them, then they are capable of connecting. What you have to be careful of, if you taking this all very seriously, is that you can be communicated with in the same way that a Ouija board can communicate. In other words, although it's far harder for AI particularly to communicate with somebody via tarot than it is through Ouija board, because a Ouija board is almost like off-on buttons, you know, black and white, yes, no. Whereas with a tarot, there is all this human emotion that the clairvoyant will read when he or she interprets the cards, and that defeats AI. AI can't cope with that, and neither can reptilians, actually, because it's emotion. But if it was one of those tarot card sets that was very stilted, you know, very easily controllable, then you could get that. The connection between 1 and 4, well, 1 and 4 is 5, 4 minus 1 is 3. I don't see a strong connection between 1 and 4. But that's looking at it from the law. This is the law of the law. But from an individual point of view, a person may have a very strong connection to the number 1 or the number 4. So often when numbers are given to people, it's not because that number necessarily represents something universally, but represents something to that individual. I felt with the question that it was quite in depth, and I'll choose not to answer any more of that, because I think it's a personal thing. And if I can use someone's personal situation with their permission, of course, and it can be a learning tool, then it's worthwhile discussing that on a wider audience. But when somebody is using the tarot cards and they think they've, you know, been talked about, there's potentially been shown reptilian spacecraft and stuff like that, that to me is no longer a wider issue. That's the issue for that individual. That's something that, you know, would want to talk to that individual about, because it could be a complete trick, a total trick to get that person to give up their sovereignty and, you know, try and impress them. Or it could be opening some form of dialogue. It could be an opportunity to, you know, engage on a, on an even platform. But from that question, that's not clear. It's just that my alarm bells go off a little bit with something like that. And I would much prefer to discuss that on a one-to-one basis than widely on the show, because it's a personal thing about a person using tarot. Thank you.
Okay, right. I'm just looking through. Here's a good one from Zeref, from Quebec, Canada. Hello. Ah, ça va. Hello, Simon. Can you explain? Sorry about that. My dad was French-Canadian. He had this, the worst accent in the world. Hello, Simon. Can you explain the structure of our universe? For example, how dimensional planes are distributed, physical, etheric, astral, mental? just lay out there, Simon, please.
Right, well, it's not flat. There was a wonderful YouTube video of this camera up in a hot air balloon, and it was saying proof that the Earth is flat. And I thought, it's still a debate. There's still a debate out there. Okay.
Proof that the GoPro has a distorted fisheye lens, yes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. When I talk about dimensions, I talk about 12 dimensions, but I always preface it by saying that there are sub-dimensions within the major dimensions. There are people who get quite hot under the collar and say, no, there are much more than 12. But they don't listen. They just hear me say there are 12 dimensions, and then the rest of what I say, they're already busily whacking away an email somewhere on. They don't actually take any more on board what I'm saying. There are 12 major dimensions, potentially 13, because there's one being built now, but we're 12 at the moment. But there are sub-dimensions. Now, there was a film, and I can't remember the film, it's a shame, but at the end of the film, it showed this boy, I think, trying to come back to warn his father, and there were all these compartments or levels, and they're all dimensions. And when we think of dimensions, we perhaps think of wide spaces. If I was to say to you that you could take a piece of paper and there could be another dimension in the thickness of that paper. So we mustn't think of a nice, neat house with rooms, and one dimension sits next to another one. Perhaps two or three sit in a line and then one sits on the top. It doesn't work like that. You can enter any dimension if you have the capability of doing so, and you don't have to be adjoining to that dimension. It's incredibly difficult to go up the dimensions. Now, the questioner shows great esoteric knowledge, because the questioner isn't just asking about dimensions, but asking about the realities and the potentiality to create splits or copies within, so that you could exist in one phase but also be existing in another phase. That also is real. This is what a lot of deja vu is, by the way. And it is possible in some circumstances to meet yourself. That's even for me, that would be pretty scary. I don't quite know how I would cope with that. But the universe is definitely far more complicated, or the multiverse, even than some of the most advanced thinkers are prepared to give it. We still think in a solid form. We still think, of course we do, we're in a physical solid body, but we still think about capabilities of solid mass. And it's only been the last truly 30, 35 years that we've begun as a peoples to appreciate that things that cannot be seen can still be real, and that you could put your hand through an invisible place, and so you look and you're cut off at the elbow, but your arm is somewhere else. You know, that has been the words of science fiction and fantasy. only now do certain people realize that not only is it real, but it's been done, sometimes by people by absolute chance, a fluke, the right person in the right place or the wrong person in the right place, depending on how they emotionally took it, through to people at MIT or many other institutions with some of the leading edge technology attempting to do it. I mean, they have moved one object, you know, matter transference. They've got that. They've moved one object from one room to another. They did that back in the 60s. So you think if you were back in the 60s and you were capable of moving something from one room to another, and they would close that down in the university, and then that team and that project would then turn up somewhere else in an underground lab somewhere, and for the next 20, 30 years, that's what they'd work on. So we just mustn't just think of dimensions sitting on top of each other like a ladder. We need to think that to your left, to your right, and then within that one, there's another one. And with that one, there's another one. But this is a trap because they're not going anywhere. They have their own real world and their own real, your own experiences. But if you're here to learn on planet Earth, that is what you're doing, and don't get sidetracked. You know, for some people, you know, it's a bit like a dog. You put a treat down and it eats the first one, or a mouse, a bit of cheese, and it goes to the next one, and it goes to the next one, and before it knows it, it's been led right down away from the true path. So if we came to this planet and we're in a physical body, we did so for a whole multitude of reasons, but one of those reasons is to learn, evolve, and change. So this is the third dimension. The souls in our bodies are completely different dimensions, but if it's your learning journey to go off down there, fine. But I think really, the main goal for humanity is not to go down the sub pockets. Try and understand them, but don't try and go down them. Try and get up the main ladder. That's important. It was a really good, powerful question. And I understand that the writer has a good concept of stuff. Thank you.
Good, thank you. This is from Energy Shift. Dear Simon, there is a great deal of information out there that suggests we are in the window of time when some souls will be rescued, that is, taken to their cosmic homes, and some will not. I feel that this information is a disservice to humanity, who need to be attending to the business of their own involvement. Even if you agree with my point of view, do you think this could possibly happen?
I do agree with that point of view, as long as I've understood you correctly, which is that, you know, we need to attend, what you're saying is attend to ourselves. We need to take responsibility for the development of ourselves and the human race. There's always been, for the last 50 years, this potential for something to offer itself as a way out, as a savior, not in the form of Jesus Christ, but in the form of something to take humanity away from its daily drudgery. If you want to offer people an escape from their life, you have to make sure their life is miserable. So governments around the world, the Western world, the English-speaking world, and the advanced non-speaking world, make life for their citizens pretty bloody awful. You know, we get up, we go to work if we're lucky, have a job, we spend all our time earning money so we can pay other people. And our sole goal from this perspective is to come back at the end of the week with just some money left. And then we get paid again. And then we have to start giving the money away. And so this cycle goes on. I knew someone in a shop who didn't earn very much money. And his idea, his whole goal for the whole year was to look at his 2-week foreign holiday. So for 11 months of the year, all he would talk about was my foreign holiday, Ibiza. And I thought, you know, that's your life. You just have enough money to pay all the bills and just have enough for a 2-week holiday and you built your life around that. So that's what they do. They make life so damn difficult for people that when or if someone came along and offered them a way out, they would be so miserable and fed up, they would jump at the opportunity. And that's all part of the false flag alien invasion. It's all part of the elite saying, we have the solution. Now, that might be robotics. You know, you're a human. Isn't that not very good? You know, you can't open a jar of marmalade with your hands. Tell you what, let's give you a robotic hand and you can open as many jars of marmalade as you can. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now, before we laugh at what I've just said, this agenda has been going on much longer than people think. 70, 80 years ago, it was quite fashionable to go to the dentist and have your healthy teeth pulled out. Now, I know that sounds to younger people absolutely shocking. Go research it. It was very fashionable to have all your healthy teeth pulled out and false teeth put in your mouth. Why? Because, hey, they won't fall out. They're not your own teeth. They won't rot. They'll just be great. So here we've got this transhuman agenda, 70, 80, maybe it's 100 years ago now, where different aspects of the elite have been trying to replace the divine with manufactured. And so we have a situation on the cards at some point where somebody will say, I am here, or we are here to liberate the human race, to get you out of your drudgery. And it's all a con. Why is it a con? Because just like the Illuminati, the evil people need humans to do the work for them. They can't do it unless the human race gives them the authority to do so. So whatever nasty, evil stuff these bad guys have got planned, they can't visit it on the earth if humans say no. So that's why it's all being done covertly, under the blankets, under the radar, to get people to quietly accept that it might be nice to have my legs cut off and have robotic legs, or, you know, as they did a few years ago when Obama was president, I'm going to have a chip in my hand so that when I get home, hey, I can hold my hand up and the garage door will close automatically for me. That's not a joke. There were people, actors paid, going on television advertising they were being chipped. And here was the grace one. This isn't nonsense. This isn't BS. It's actually adverts 6-7 years ago of people saying they were going to get their kids chipped because all of these terrorist incidences, wouldn't it be good when the police found their kids, they would read the chip on them and they would know where they lived. And that is the level of disinformation that was coming out under that previous administration. Let's not forget that. Whatever Trump is, and he's not the best man on the planet, that level of nonsense is not coming out now. Because that was all government-backed. This is the stuff that's happening now is not backed by the government. So the reality is that if the human race says no, it ain't going to do it, then it won't happen. That's why there's all this subterfuge and all this conning. It's a really good question. It's one of the most important questions of the evening. And it comes back to the core root message that I have to people, which is do not give your sovereignty away to anybody. Great. Thank you.
Right. Wow. So I just can't get past these enormous questions, so I'm going to have an enormous question. Oh, we've got 20 minutes to go. Okay. This is from Charlie Marie. I was visited. Dear Simon, it was good to see you, even though we were not able to hear each other. My daughter and I enjoyed your visit. Can you please answer a question for me? I speak to non-physical beings, including humans who have passed. JonBenet Ramsey came to me last year, and led me down the pedo-gate rabbit hole. I finally came across Field McConnell on YouTube, and his story made everything clear to me. Are you aware of Field McConnell?
Yes.
Yes. David Hawkins and Field McConnell, Able Danger. And his story made everything clear to me. When 9/11 happened, I knew immediately it was a conspiracy involving Americans. And I now know about Christine Marcy, that's his sister, and the SES snuff films, and have been posting a lot about it. I saw a vision of JonBenet riding a black horse, smiling and waving, saying, "We did it? Do you know if..." Or, "We did it? Do you know if..." She was saying that the Dark Horse team brought, the Dark Horse team Trump is bringing justice to her case by exposing her death's connection to 9/11. Why am I heavily connected to all this? And can I do, and what can I do now to feel I've done my job so that I can pass the torch to others?
This is again another personal question. Where there are very, very few. No, it's fine. It's fine to have the question. I don't have a problem with it, but there are very few topics that excite the elite. One of them is 9/11. Seriously, because there is so much physical evidence. And there are so many people who have been bribed and silenced, and there are still so many people who know the truth. You know, if I talk about aliens and reptilians and flying saucers, it doesn't bother them because they've done such a good job with the established media to brainwash so many people that it doesn't have the effect. But if you talk about 9/11, there are so many architects, scientists, engineers out there who know, no way was 9/11 what it was purported to be. So you've got in America alone, thousands of professionals, you have, degrees from university and college who know that that wasn't the case. Because all the every airline pilot knows it was impossible to fly an aeroplane like that with the hours that the, hijackers supposedly had flying simulated flying craft or light aircraft. They just know it's not on. So whenever anybody has a direct link of some sort to an aspect like that, we have to be, or I certainly, on behalf of that individual, have to be very careful. I attended a meeting in 2013, and that meeting was infiltrated by a member of some group or other, and I wasn't the guest speaker at that meeting. It was a guy who was talking about 9/11, and we suddenly found we repaired back to the organizer's home for a quick coffee and a chin wag, and this person had snuck in and proceeded when I was one of the leading forces that said you've got to get to the owner, the organizer, you've got to get this person out. I remember that when I got to protect the person, when the person told this individual that he had to leave, he got very nasty and kicked the cat. Not my cat, this other person's cat kicked him. And I remember when he arrived at the conference, the very first thing he did was go up to all the booksellers and spend £100 and buy books from people, trying to buy his way in, you see. So I've got to be very careful with 9/11. Now, I think I had a Skype with this person, and the audio wasn't working. The video, the visual, the video was working, but there was no audio. So I said, "Well, I'd have to rebook you." And that's why I think the person is saying it was nice to see me, but couldn't hear me. As I haven't had a proper conversation with that person, I think that it should be on a one-to-one level. So I hear what you're saying, and for your own safety, I think it's better that we don't discuss this publicly. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Simon. There we go. Here's a really simple question. Might not be a simple answer. How? This is from Reese. How exactly does source create something?
Well, it's simple in the sense that it's one sentence.
Exactly,
I can't answer that because only the great creator source can answer. I can speculate, and I can answer it in my own way, but I can't answer your question. And I'll never be able to answer the question because that's what makes source divine at that level. But my answer to you would be, because if you have ultimate love, You can create anything. And if you are pure love, whatever you create will be good. It only becomes, quote, bad when it chooses its free will to do so. If you are a creator, and we all humans are creators, we create at a set level. But Source is the great creator. That's what the off-planet, that's what the aliens refer to God as, the great creator. The great creator, for some reason, has the right to create life at that level. And that, and how it does it, they don't know. I think when you are pure thought, pure love, pure energy, and you are everywhere at once, and you don't have anything that makes you have bad thoughts or takes you off your course, when you're in that position, you only exist to create life, because that's what your job is. Your job is to create existence so that that existence can experience. Humans generally don't appreciate how lucky they are. And one of the reasons they don't appreciate is because our governments make our life so miserable that actually sometimes I hear people say it's not worth living, because the pressures of life around them are so awful. Sometimes that's because things happen that no one can control. Other times it's somebody or something making it that way. But if you, your soul, if you just get off on creating life and then saying, there you go, now you go and experience, what you do is entirely up to you. I actually don't want to be too bothered about it. My role was to create you. What you do with it is up to you. I hope, as your creator, that you learn and evolve and you flourish and you do well. But the great creator accepts that a certain percentage of those things that have created will go in one direction and a certain percentage will go in the other direction. Does the creator ever feel sad? No. But the earth does. The earth feels sad when the creatures it nurtures and carries on its back do terrible things to it. So the earth feels it, but the great creator says, if that's your choice, that's what you do. I gave you life. What you do with it is up to you. So the aliens that I have met know no more than we do about Source. And that is as it should be, because he or she who desires to be God is going to come to a very nasty cropper. So that's my best answer. I'm sorry I struggled with that, but I did it from the heart. Thank you.
I know. Well, I mean, it's a difficult question because here we are, only human. Meanwhile, well, I only meant it. Yeah. Meanwhile, here's a question that is close to your heart from Rudy in London. Cats. Hello, Simon. Your love for cats is very well known and documented. Now, is it possible that you also keep them in your house to help you detect certain presences of other dimensions or ghosts or evil spirits? Yeah. I really enjoy the show. Much love and thanks for all the information you are spreading out there.
Yeah, the answer is yes. I keep them for a number of reasons. It's funny because you find people who are dog lovers and cat lovers, they're, you know, someone who will defend their dog and say, oh, the dog is more intelligent than a cat. And the cat lover will say, a cat's more intelligent than a dog. And that's a pointless argument because it's not, it's subjective, and it's the emotions of the individual have taken over the reality. What it is that dogs and cats are both psychic. A dog generally is more in tune with its owner or the person or family that it has chosen to be with. So the dog will key in with the brain patterns or the waves, whatever you want to call it, the psychic capability of the family. A cat generally is aloof, not just physically, but psychically. So the dog's frequency of detection is actually less, but it is stronger around the range of the human. The cat's detection frequency is greater outside of the human frequency. So if an entity enters a dwelling, an apartment, a house, the cat is more likely to detect that entity quicker. So for instance, if you've got 20 stairs and a cat is at the bottom of the stairs and the entity comes at the top, the cat is more likely to detect that entity immediately. The dog is more likely to detect it perhaps halfway down the stairs. Because the cat is more independent, it exists in that psychic realm to a greater extent than the dog. The dog is very much in the human realm. It's very much part of the family, very much part of its owner. And that's where it chooses to be. That's why, what do they say? Dog is man's best friend. Whereas a cat, the joke is that the cat is the one that will, you know, is more loves the house and, you know, doesn't bother about the people. But it means that the range, the psychic range is different. Now, the other thing is that, as I've said, that a long time ago, the cat was altered genetically. And a lot of reptilian DNA was used in that cat. So the cat's detecting range is more specific to something with a reptilian presence than a mammalian presence. So if a demonic entity or AI entity, which both of those frankly have a strong connection to reptilian root core, the cat will detect that more than a dog, because the cat's still connected through its own reptilian makeup and will sense that straight away. I have always known, ever since I was 5 or 6 years old, that the cats could see things or sense things that I could not with my physical eyes. Now, dogs can as well, remember. I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying the detection range is different. How many cat and dog owners have seen their animal suddenly stand stock still, stare in a particular place and not take their eyes off it? It's not they've heard anything, because look at the ears. The ears don't move. This is the key. If it's a sound, they move their ears towards it, but they're not. They're looking with their eyes. Their third eye has detected and their physical eye is picking it up. And on a number of occasions in people's houses, I have walked up to where the animal is staring, and literally as a joke, not as a joke about the situation, but a joke to the entity, wave my hand into the space where I know it will be. And the reality is that animals are excellent guard dogs or cats, but you have to read the signs. You have to read the signs. That's just one reason why I keep them. There are other reasons as well. So thank you. That's a lovely question. Appreciate you.
Fascinating. From Francesca. Simon and JP, thank you for your hard work and sacrifices. I hope there are not too many human sacrifices. Anyway, my question is, what if you are the reincarnation of Adam, Simon, is there anything known about the soul of Eve? Is she, or even part of her soul fragments, on the planet right now?
Well, there are many people who contain the soul fragments of Adam, just as there are many people that would contain the soul fragments of, let's have a sort of a humour, but Winston Churchill. However, there are a greater proportion of people having fragments of the Christos energy, shall we say, or the Mary Magdalene energy, because, as I've said before, it was hedging your bets. If you scatter the good seed out, some of that will root. And instead of just having one or two people with that in, you've got several hundred or thousand, whatever you want to call it. And those individuals then can connect back, and hopefully in their lifetimes, they can do some good work that in their own way brings something useful to the circle of people around them. And it keeps alive something that otherwise could be hunted down and killed. If we think of the story of, was it Moses that was put in a basket because Herod or whoever it was, I can't remember the story now, these fairy tales, but some of them are rooted in truth, where all the boy babies were going to be killed. So you don't put all your eggs in one basket, because if the basket, in this case a rush map basket, is sunk in the Tigris, you've lost your investment. So there are many, many people that will contain those energies. In relation to the partners of these individuals, they again will be spread out across. And so when twin flames or soulmates connect, they connect for a reason in that lifetime. Now, it might be that they might only be together for a year or 2 years, whatever it might be, and the job was to energize each other, to activate each other, and then both parties go in their own way. But they did what they needed to do, which was to come back together again and to reconnect and do what's needed to be done. It's about elevating DNA. So, you know, it's in a hugely complicated understanding. Again, it's not physical understanding. It's an energy understanding. And you know, on the fun side, I talk about when I looked after John Lennon's father's children, and I do have to keep saying it because people, you know, they don't listen to me. You know, they say Simon Parks says he looked after John Lennon's children, and the age range is all wrong, and then they go to this huge calculation of my age range, and listen to me. John Lennon's father's children. I looked after a babysat John Lennon's father's children, and the reason, because they wanted my energy in connection with those children at a certain time of the year. I didn't understand astrology then, but it will have been obviously the confluence of stars, etc., etc. So when one person comes into connection with another, if one person has one fragment of something and another person another fragment, those two will activate and join to the betterment of both people. But it doesn't mean that you've got Mary and Jesus back on the earth and, you know, Jesus is going to jump back on a donkey and go to Damascus, etc., etc. Those days are gone. Those are the days of the Bible. We now are in an advanced technological state. We are in a battle for the hearts and minds of the people of this planet. In many ways, we're actually more prisoners than they were back in the time of Herod and Jesus. And in other ways, we're more liberated. But the reality is there is still a controlling force. And it doesn't matter whether you've got the Jesus soul splice or you know, Napoleon Bonaparte slice of soul. The reality is that everybody has a responsibility to live their life and to try and do good, not just to be selfish, because that's what we're taught on this planet. We're taught that if you're selfish, you're rewarded. And the reality is that you may get a physical reward in the short time, but your development will be totally destroyed for many years to come. So that's my best answer to you. Thank you. And we're nearly out of time, aren't we?
We're completely out of time, Simon.
Oh.
It's been a very captivating show. So let's hope other people will call in and discuss this. Yes, they're just about to start. Thank you very much, Simon. This has been...
To everybody, thank you so much.
God bless you.